give us a big Josh.
Josh.
Isolate that.
that's my theme song.
I'll get Alex to do something, sample that. I think that did his big loud thing did spike a little bit.
He always does. Yeah, he kind of distorts it. How about me? Am I loud enough?
I bring it, Andy. That's why.
Am I loud enough? How do I sound?
Great.
Do I sound great?
Your hair looks great.
Hey, thanks.
We can hear you. Got it cut. Let's put it that way.
Did you use this morning? Did you use your special shower? Any special conditioner stuff?
No, but I got my hair cut, but she's just 10 kinds of hot.
Oh yeah,
I haven't done that.
I actually don't like that. It's not comfortable.
I go to boys.
Because I have a flashback
of there was a time when I was, in the ripe age for serious hormone activity.
Yeah,
and I ended up going to this place. It was Dawn and Dawn, and I ended up getting Dawn. And she was great.
You had a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, and she was fantastic. But she was also, and I was 16, 17.
Yeah, right.
And she was a very lovely, voluptuous, and overly flirty woman because that was just her nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she knew that she what she was doing. You know, it was both something I looked forward to every 4 to 6 weeks and dreaded because I...
When you were done, did you like... She goes to take the sheet off and you're like, no, take it off.
Just give me a minute. It was bad.
I'm just going to sit here and look in the mirror. Go ahead and do something else.
Right. And it was that thing...
And then you're going, grandma pooping, grandma
It was
pooping,
kind of
grandma,
that mentality that strippers have, which is you kind of convince guys that they're going... Guys are going... I think she might go home with me. There was that minute as a 16-year-old, I'm going, I think Dawn's digging me, man.
How old was she?
Oh, she had to have been mid to late 20s.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of those 16-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Dawn, rough memory. Cheers to you, Dawn. Ready? You want to start it?
I'm ready.
I'm going to dedicate this episode to Dawn.
Yeah, I think you all know what I'm talking about.
The Dawn-isode.
Yeah. Ah, 16.
Isn't it weird? This is totally wrong. But anytime you hear about an older woman teacher being involved with a 16-year-old student, you're like, yeah. The reverse, if it was an older male teacher, you're like, oh,
he's
God.
A lech. Yeah.
Lock him up.
I'm trying to temper that a little bit, except I definitely had crushes on teachers when I was that age.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely wrong because the child, can't, the frontal lobes aren't fully formed. It's totally wrong.
And it's still but illegal.
Yes. Yeah,
Not to mention.
It is rape.
It's statutory.
Categorically wrong.
Yeah.
However, there's something whenever you hear about a 16-year-old boy that's with this 40-year-old woman, you're like, okay.
Yeah. But you know what you do first is you get online to be like, I want to see what she looks like.
Oh, stop. Well, this is all terrible.
They're always hot. Did you ever notice that?
Well, yeah. I mean,
female teachers.
Well, when was the last time you saw like a 17-year-old kid go, oh, I love that 400-pound librarian. She is amazing. Look at the giant ass on her.
Sister Barbara Marie is turning my crank.
I immediately want to distance myself from this entire conversation.
I'd love to see her in a set of granny panties.
I did not start it.
You totally started it.
Let's
just delete this and start all over, okay? Hi, Andy. How you doing? Your hair looks great. Play the song.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
You know what's funny is we were on vacation. Well, we went up to Big Sur beginning of last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
We're up there. It's Laura, me, the kids, and we walk into this this place for breakfast. And standing in front of me, turns around. It's the woman who cuts my hair.
No. Oh.
Yeah. And
did you go get your hair cut in Big Sur?
No, she was just taking a drive up there as well.
Oh,
and out for the weekend, yeah.
And how uncomfortable were you immediately? Because that is a very private thing that you get to have to yourself.
And Laura turns to me and says, you said he was ugly.
I'll tell you, not the last time I got my hair cut.
That's a freaking Tim Allen sitcom moment right there.
The last time I got the haircut, but the time before that, I just went to like a Supercuts, and the girl that did it was very well endowed and cute, and it was just uncomfortable, you know what I mean? Because they were so close to my head the whole time, and I'm just like, eyes forward, just stare, you know, fight through this. That the next time I went back, I was like relieved that she wasn't there. I was like, oh, thank God.
That was Dawn when I was 16. Yeah. Same deal.
It's just like they're like right beside my ear, and just like, get those things away from me.
I go to Christopher now, and that problem doesn't occur anymore. Plus, I don't have that much hair to wash.
I use a Flobee.
Flobee.
My brother had a Flobee.
Did he?
Yeah. Worked.
It didn't work on me. Okay, did it? It worked from the standpoint that it cut hair. Yeah. But did it look good?
Well, when you're like 21, you don't really. I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I never used it. Using it on a sheep.
Was it an improvement over the salad bowl?
he had a Flobee. I can still picture it. It looks terrifying. It looks terrifying. It's it's got the like vacuum end, and then it just has these weird.
Now, the Flobee, did it have its own vacuum? Or did you attach your vacuum?
Oh, that's right. It was
an attachment to your vacuum. Yeah.
See, there's nothing that's right about that.
Yeah. No.
But it did. They have its own motor to turn like blades or something.
The suction would create it just like a regular vacuum. The suction would create the mechanics of cutting.
That just sounds like
if I seem to remember, it was like it wasn't because it moved because the mechanics moved in like a circular motion, that the cutting motion was actually like almost like two blades chomping. You know what I mean? Like not like a smooth scissor cut, but like two clunk, 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 clunk. Yeah, I just remember looking at it, pulling it out of the closet one day and looking at me like, I'm out.
By the way, I had a moment this week where I felt like I sidestepped catastrophe.
Speaking of Flobees, is it what?
It kind of is. So I'm things that, I'm just thinking of like the vacuum cleaner. You could get a lot sucked up in there if you're not careful.
And you add a couple of chomping blades. Yeah. You're in trouble. By the way, the Flobee still does exist.
Oh, my God. They still make them?
It's available for $139.
Jesus. Oh, God.
Wow, okay.
It's probably new and improved.
I'm out here working on the automotive pavilion.
Jesus.
I bought a belt sander.
Oh, nice.
For like $40. On Amazon, I get this belt sander, right?
And
it was pretty decent, right? But I'm using that to sand down all of the the work that I did on the, because it's a lot of wood. That's what she said.
That's a foul. I'm gonna call foul right there. You hacked me.
You have more proximity to the bell.
I got the hammer. Try hitting it. Anyway, I'm out there, and it gets to a point where the. Have you ever used a belt sander? You know, there's I can honestly say no.
Why did you look at him when you said that? You might as well just
look at that. What do you think, Andy?
Look at that Pee Wee Herman doll up there.
Why don't you? A better question would be, do you know what one is, Larry?
It's something used to sand belts. I'm pretty sure. It has a belt of sandpaper, right? This circuit of sandpaper.
Right.
And you put that on these rollers and they tighten it up and the motor goes on, it goes bzz, 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 and it sands things down. Well, after a while, the rollers can get out of alignment, and if they do, then the sandpaper slides one way or the other. The roll will, move.
Uh-huh.
So you have to adjust it. Well, it was out of whack and I'm adjusting it and I'm holding the thing and accidentally
turned it on.
It turned on and it caught my shirt. I got about 6 inches of my shirt wrapped up around that. I'm like, oh my God, I could have been in
sanded.
Jeez, that's literally another Tim Allen sitcom moment. I mean, you've got two in one. Holy crap, you're living a Tim Allen sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it around your waist, so literally you've been sanding your belt with your belt sander?
Yes.
That's,
Or did it like turn it into like a belly shirt immediately? Just ripped it
did
off.
You go, did you go like cut your shorts real short like Daisy Duke and had, tie your shirt up in front?
Look at Andy Chanley, that sexy construction worker next door.
That's the way I started.
Those heels are really high.
You look like
boots.
You belong to the part of the Village People.
I like the sand and stilettos. helps my work.
Oh no! I just pictured that. Oh no! 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 Out of my head. Talk about something
you
else.
You might want to write that down for the name of the show.
What was
I like
that?
The sand in stilettos.
I like to sand in.
So what did how did you like hit rewind to get it out? To untuck the shirt.
First of all, unplugged it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Thought that was a good move, and then went back and I had to yank it out of there and have it go backwards a little bit to get it out of there. And,
I've never used. I know
the long story short, that shirt is now in a landfill. I had, had to toss.
I
that.
Could save that for. Use rags. What are you doing? That's
not
good
this
thing.
One. No,
oh, really? It was that bad?
Well, that and it had other stuff on it. Like it had
soup stains.
Well, here's the problem. The shirt was good to wear,
but not
until it got caught into a belt sander.
Not good enough for a rag.
This shirt needs to be burnt and put out of existence.
Oh, I'm going to wear it, but I'm not
belt sander.
I'm not
going to
clean up anything.
All right, wise ass. No, it was covered in sanding and dust.
You had,
and at that point, I'm like, why take this shirt that is now probably stretched beyond wearable and is unspeakably filthy with sanding residue?
Yeah.
Detritus. Why would I take this and put it in our nice clean washing machine when I can simply throw it in that trash receptacle over there? So that's what
I'm just trying to think of it.
All right.
Mother Earth.
We accept it.
You know me, I'm always
that's
thinking
right.
about
you
saving
are.
Mother Earth.
Yes.
Yeah. Josh Green Fligger.
Yeah, one track mind. By the way, everybody, Josh Fligger's here.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Larry Morgan's joining
us. Hey, look, I'm back.
My name's Andy Chanley. Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Where's he at?
Gestured off in the empty mic.
Did you look? I looked. Right
I like, did
oh.
too. It's like,
wow, Jedi mind trick with you two.
All these dudes point up. We're like, who? Where?
A couple of brainiacs from the planet Smartron here. Look over there.
I'm very tired.
It's a wolf.
I'm super sleepy.
Why? What happened?
Big life changes going on. I haven't talked about this with you guys because it's just stressful. But we are, I don't think I've mentioned it. Yes, we are. We are selling a house and buying a house in Cambria.
Oh.
And it's happened very quick. We've had our house up for sale in Cambria for a while just to kind of test the market and see.
Then somebody took you up on it and you're like, oh shit, we've got to find a place to live.
It was a slow time of year. I fully expected for it because especially that area, it's like you don't get a ton of activity until maybe spring or summer when the weather's nicer and you get a few more tourists in and stuff. And I was thinking this is going to take months.
Right.
Plus, there wasn't a whole lot of inventory period for us to transition into because... So we didn't really know what the next step was going to be.
That's always a sketchy thing. It's buying and selling because you're like, it's impossible to time out. It's you know what I mean. You can't be like,
and
let's
unless
do this
you've
and
got the money to like buy a second home or
rent
do,
for,
and they have these things that they try and talk you into. You could do a bridge loan, and immediately I'm like, that sounds so frightening.
Yeah.
With basically a bridge loan is take out enough money to pay for both homes at the same time. While you're trying to sell one, which just has all sorts of red flags.
Right.
And I wasn't going to put us in that position.
Right.
But sure enough, we got an offer. They were selling their home in Arizona. They prevailed upon our... And here's the backstop we've got is that Alex and I are sharing a place here in L.A., so at least we have a place where we can live while we're looking for a new one. But then one was up for sale that... Charlotte absolutely loved, and once I kind of started looking at it, I was like, wow, I think we could do this. I mean, it's a beautiful home, and it's a little further away from the beach, but still within proximity. But more than anything, money's freaking cheap right now. It's like, I thought it was out of reach, and then interest rates are
3%.
Stupid.
Well, it depends on if you're doing a 15% or 15-year.
15 or 30.
Yeah.
And so we started doing the math, and it was like, oh, okay. So buying and selling at the same time is, if you've ever done it, which I a lot of people have done, is one of the most stressful things in the world. And we got to pack everything just to put it in storage for 2 weeks and then unpack it again.
Now, are you guys looking for more space or less space?
It is slightly more space, but it's on a bigger piece. So what we give up in terms of our view, which we can see the ocean from where we are. We're not on it, but we're up a hill. What we're giving up on from the view, we're getting more land and privacy.
Yeah. And how big a parcel are we talking?
It's an acre. They build them on an acre in this particular part of town. And it's also
almost a farm.
Surrounded by trees, and we can, like, you know, we got enough room. It's usable from the sense that we can have a little
alpacas?
Garden. Nope. No.
Some chickens?
You're going to build a grill?
Maybe
a little like entertaining area.
I could.
Outside.
Yeah, there's a nice patio. It's like this Mediterranean style. It looks like a little villa. Here's the best part about it is that it's almost like it's a one bedroom home with an attached casita. It's like this little villa, and it's technically still a three bedroom home because it is attached by an archway. But Alex has his own separate studio and bedroom set up with a connecting bathroom where he can basically come up there anytime he wants, build a studio, use that, and
that's
still
awesome.
Feel separate from us.
Nice.
But still, you know, within reach.
Do you know why money is so cheap right now?
Huh.
To borrow? Coronavirus.
I don't think that's it.
No, it is.
You know,
it was already
cheap before that.
But it's in part because of that, because the stock market takes a huge hit, right?
So interest rates.
And so the reason that it changes interest rates, because, you know, mortgage rates are not... Hold your goddamn tongue.
Okay.
Should we maybe, like, tell people how long this is going to be and then come back in, like, 10 minutes?
This is simple.
All right.
The mortgage rates aren't tied to your bank rates. They're tied to treasury bonds, 10-year treasury bonds.
Right.
So when the stock market goes in the shitter, people go to the safer investments of the 10-year bond.
Right.
And when they do that, the yield on the bond goes down because, you know, it has to. And then mortgage rates go down alongside that.
Yeah.
So, like, this next week, there's a chance in the next month of it getting to a 12-year low.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with them getting punched in the balls from the coronavirus.
And what's even stranger is that we're in a weird window where even jumbo loans are even lower interest rate than a regular 30-year loan. I mean, it's so upside down and weird. So we're taking
full advantage of it. I'm refining next month.
And
again,
also,
I did it 6 months ago. I'm doing it again.
A great thing about being on an acre of land surrounded by trees in our own little place there is that when the shit goes down, we've got our own little fortress and we can protect ourselves.
Okay, I just realized I made a huge mistake.
What's that?
I just announced on a podcast that I'm doing a refi. Please do not contact me.
You've already got, look, you've got 19 emails already.
Please do not contact me about a mortgage broker or anything like that. Don't want to hear about it.
Yes. Hi, I'm trying to reach Andrew Chainley. Is this Andrew Chainley?
Oh, that's a big mistake. But anyway, you've put in an offer?
Yeah, it's been accepted. No, I mean,
it's done.
Yeah, we're going to close.
How far away is it?
From the current house?
Yeah.
It's just like 2 minutes north.
Okay, so it won't be that much of a pain in the butt to get everything
out
of
there. Not at all.
So when you do this, you said these people that sold their house in Phoenix or Arizona,
somewhere in Arizona.
They're coming and they asked you, could we please delay this? And it actually played right into your hand.
No, they didn't delay it. They wanted a short escrow because they were selling their home. So basically it was a 30-day turnaround, and then we didn't know we were getting the new house until a couple of weeks later. So we're trying to close that one as quickly as possible with as little a gap in between. I've been waking up in the middle of the night.
So, like,
are you happy with what you got for your house? Are you happy with the investment?
That's the great thing is that and real estate agents, God bless them, except fuck them. You know, it's like we've done this enough times
now.
They always tell you to start lower than you want. They always tell you to take the offer that you know you shouldn't take.
And
the one advantage I felt like we had here was we were not in really any sort of panic because we had a place that we could live temporarily. And I held out. I mean, I was like, no, here's my line. And they're like, oh, I think you're going to loot me. I mean, they're going to walk away. They didn't. I got exactly what I thought should we our value for a home should be. And then the same thing with the purchase price of the new one. I was like, no, I'm not going to go above this line because that's going to that's really going to strap us if we go above that. I know what my monthly payment needs to be to feel comfortable, and it's got to be right here.
We did,
like, well, he's going walking. I mean, he's been sitting there for a year, and he hasn't. And we got exactly what.
Before we got the place we were at now, we put a offer in on a place, and they accepted it. And when we were in escrow during the inspection, there was some air conditioning issues,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, you need to either knock. I forget what it was, like $6,000 off the price, because it was on the roof. So you're going to have to rent a crane. I mean, it was just this thing that's going to end up being like 10 grand to put a new air conditioning in. And we were like, we want you to knock this off of the price because it's going to be gone. And like the inspector says, he's surprised it's still working. And they're like, no. And we're like, all right. So we just pulled out escrow. We're like, well, I'm not buying a place if I know I have to do this. And you're not willing to fix it, so
that's the thing. Is you often feel like as the buyer and seller in those situations, because there's so much going on that you often feel like you don't have the power, and you actually kind of do.
Yeah.
And we've done it enough now where I finally grew some balls after five or six homes over the years.
And the way I was thinking about it too, it's just like I don't want to. This is losing the money just from being in escrow is fine. I'd be willing to pay that money if I know that I'm not getting into a mistake, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like we both felt like this was a mistake if we don't get this fixed. So it was like, Cindy was like, oh, but we lost this money. And it was like, I don't look at it like that. I look at it as we actually lucked out by paying that money and not having this place that's going to end up costing us another 10 grand.
Thank you for joining us for Real Time
Today. Let's talk about something else.
I do want to ask you about something about this and I'm just curious about this. It's only tangentially related. But it turns out, and they have to disclose this, that the elderly couple that lived there before us, the previous owners, the gentleman passed away in the house.
Yeah, do you know where?
Does that bother you?
Well, do you know where in the house?
How did he pass away? I'd be like, if he just bit the dust if he beefed it from being old, then that's fine.
That's it. It wasn't some sort of, torture murder.
Was it? Okay. Then I'm like, I'm cool. What room?
Was it on the toilet?
I don't know. I don't think they get that detailed about it. I just wonder if that bothers it. It doesn't bother me, although I am making a big point because I'm a jolly joker of talking about how haunted the place is going to be. Yeah.
And now it's not funny anymore. I'd be like, tell me. I'll tell my wife. We'll never mention to the kid. Me and my wife look at each other and be like, let's never mention this again. Yeah. We're good with it.
Yeah. No. I like going in with that joke right in the back pocket.
Here's what I would do. I'd get a little sage.
Oh, Jesus, make a pizza. Really?
And and I'd smudge it a little bit to make sure that,
okay,
6 months down the line, you don't have an old man coming to the front door saying, God is holy temple.
I'd love to have a ghost, man.
Would that be cool? Like poltergeist style?
Oh, yeah.
I actually knew someone that went through an exorcism in their house. Yeah. We got a lot of hippies up there.
They'll have to be happy to.
You know what I heard? I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard 88.5 Studios.
Uh-huh.
I heard that it's built on an ancient burial.
Oh, no. like an Indian?
Yeah, Native American? Tumba or something.
Do you remember when I was convinced my office was haunted at the sound because I lost a napkin?
What?
Don't you remember that? No. I got some food from downstairs, and I was sitting at my desk, and I had a napkin. I had, like, two napkins, and I stuck them down, and I, like, started to eat, and then I went to get the napkin, and it was gone. And I was like, So I'm, like, crawling around on the ground looking for this napkin. And I cannot find this napkin. I've stopped eating my food, and now the more important thing in my life is to find this napkin. And I'm looking all over for this napkin. I spent like 20 minutes looking for it. I'm like shuffling papers, looking for a napkin, looking in my pockets, looking in my food. And you like came, I like either mid shift or finished your shift, just like came walking by. and I like explained it to you. Something has stolen my napkin right out. I still never found my napkin. I was convinced that I probably did it.
Because
it happened like I didn't move. Like the napkin was in front of me. I turned to my computer, turned, the napkin was gone.
Josh, you must have known working with Andy Chanley that is the exact sort of thing he would do just to drive you a little bit crazy.
If I could gaslight you with a napkin, you think I wouldn't do it? Heartbeat?
Have I brought up the time where I gaslighted Mikey?
Yes.
With the yogurt? Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll tell that story again.
I do have one radio station story that the legend of a dead engineer. It was AM station in Odessa, Texas, where I worked, outside the city limits in a converted old crummy house, so it's the perfect, you know, venue for something like that. It was Bob, a guy named Bob, who was an engineer at the radio station there, who apparently in the middle of the evening had a heart attack back in kind of like the kitchen area, and supposedly came down the hallway toward the studio, falling against the wall, boom, boom, against the walls in there.
So if you hear the thumping on the walls.
So everybody's had those experiences, and I even had one enough. Obviously, this is all implanted in our memories, but Dancing Mark Hansen, who's now Jagger down in San Diego, he was on the air one night. And he
heard Jagger's name was Dancing Mark Hansen.
He heard he was on the air at night.
He did Loveline, right? For a while?
No, different guy.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He was on the air and heard kind of a thumping out in the hallway. He knew this story, and he just put his headphones on and turned the volume up very loud and just kind of sat there for the rest of the night. And then I had an experience where I was on the air at night, and I had a physical movement thing that freaked me the heck out, because it was back in the days of carts, and I had finished a song and I had pulled a couple of carts out and I put a couple away over here and I pulled
a cart. For people who don't know, it looks like an 8-track tape. It's just a limited amount of tape, usually in
just enough for
30 seconds, 60 seconds, 3 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute, whatever, and it would cue back up to the beginning and it went in a specialized 8-track machine.
Yeah, that was between actually playing records and when CDs came in, and they were all on these specific cartridges just for radio. And a song had ended, I put it over here on the right, which is the place I would keep stuff until I was ready to kind of start putting stuff away. And then at one point I turned around to reach for that because I knew I hadn't put it away yet, and it wasn't there. Now, the logic would say I just kind of second nature just went ahead and reinserted the cart where it belonged.
Sure.
But I could not for the life of me remember doing that. Yeah. And it was enough where I went, where'd it go? And well, it was there.
That falls into the, like when you're driving a car and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, I just went like 30 miles and I don't remember. You know what I mean? Because I've read something. It's your brain doesn't, if it's a pattern that is you've done so many times that your brain knows, I don't even need to file this away.
I agree.
As a memory.
It just, it gave me chills enough that it stuck with me. I don't believe in any of that crap, but it was also just freaky enough.
I worked at that when I worked at the Elks Lodge. They had a coffin with a human skeleton in it in the basement, right? And they would and this place was just a big, it was built like during the 60s when like these Elks clubs and Moose clubs and stuff like that were big because of the liquor laws. You couldn't go to bars weren't open on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But if it was a club, you were exempt from that law, so that's why why they made all their money.
Yep.
So when it was built in the 60s or 50s, whatever, it was this big cavernous. It had like 1,000 members and stuff like that. But back in like the 90s, the membership had dwindled to like 150, 200.
Right.
So there was like all these big parts that were just never used, and you know they were cold and dank and scary, and they would bring this effing coffin up in the bar during Halloween and leave it there. Like some drunk would be like, let's go get the coffin. And then they'd lug it, all these old teachers would lug this coffin upstairs with a human skeleton in it and then leave it there. And then they leave. And I have to close the place down. I'm turning off all the lights. And like the last light you got to turn off is on like one
way
side
over
of the bar. And I got to walk through the bar, past the skeleton, in through the kitchen to go out the back door. And I just remember for like 3 weeks, that thing would just be sitting there. And I'd have to walk past and see a human skeleton in a dark ass bar every night.
Oh, that gives me the creep.
I hated that.
I got the weird.
And it was one of those old ass coffins that were like,
So it's wood.
Yeah,
it's
like the Dracula one. It was like
pointy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Let's see. There was something that happened this week that someone commented on, and I made a note of it so I would remember to.
I do have a response to one of our phone calls from last week when we want to get to that.
Please do.
It was directed to me.
Oh, great. Okay. Quickly, I just found this. Teresa B. says, Andy, FYI, bourbon doesn't have to be made in Kentucky.
Correct.
But it does have to be made in the U.S.
Right.
I lived in Lexington for 5 years. I'm so sorry. And toured many a distillery. Tried to take a trip out there. I was never a bourbon drinker until I visited a distillery. You will love it. There you go.
So you've never been to a bourbon distillery? You've been to the pineapple farm, but you've never been to a bourbon distillery.
That is accurate. I've never been.
It just seems like that would be something that you definitely
you've certainly lived close enough to the area. Well, that's something you ought to do sometime.
Did you have a story you wanted to answer?
We had a question from Carrie in Northern California last week about Casey Kasem. I wanted to respond to that.
Here's your log distance answer.
Yeah. Because she's right. That is my voice on the little extras and intros and outros of the flashback shows.
Is it still on? Casey Kasem flashbacks?
Yeah.
Still
yeah, it's 70s. They call it the American Top 40
of the
70s.
Oh, that'd be fun to listen to.
American Top 40. They basically replay all the original shows as they ran. And it's actually really fun. And
I
you
bet.
Also hear how much really crash, especially those 70s ones. Mm-hmm. They don't even play the first hour on most stations because it was just such shitty records.
The songs from number 31 to 40?
Yeah.
Fringe.
I mean, if you're playing Susan Anton's big hit at number 39. So I introduced like the kind of bumpers and extras for places if a station doesn't have a lot of commercials or whatever. And the answer to your question, Carrie, is that the reason that they don't give you access to the 90s shows or you're not hearing the 90s shows is that actually Casey stopped hosting the show temporarily in 1988. That was the last show, and they turned it over to Shadow Stevens. And that went until 1995, until it was canceled.
That circle gets the square.
And nobody has access to those. Well, Cumulus has access to those shows, so the company that puts that out. And then Casey actually picked it back up again in 98, and then did it until 2004.
This is...
doesn't Ryan Seacrest do?
That's when Ryan took over.
Okay. That's when they changed it to AT40 or something.
Well, it was always kind of referred to as that. But they kind of streamlined it because that's cool.
Yeah. This story is hardly worth telling, but I remember when I was doing news for Uncle Joe in the morning at the Sound.
Wait, so the Sanders story was worth telling?
Which one?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it caused personal harm to me.
I figured you'd enjoy it. Yeah. Well, that was your shirt.
I was doing news. It was around the time that Gene Kasem took Casey to Europe or whatever.
Yeah. She went up to like Oregon or Washington State or something, and then took his body to Norway.
To Norway. Yeah. And so, I found a little snippet of a long distance dedication, and it was from this service member. Sending it back, a long distance dedication back to his girlfriend back in the States.
Yeah.
The story that I read was, and at this point, maybe only Casey Kasem knows where his remains are. And I had that little snippet of him saying, I'm on tour in Finland and I'll be back in I'll be back in November. It was just perfectly awful. It was pretty amazing.
How'd that fly?
Dave loved it.
Yeah, okay.
That was pretty good. Let's see, what else do we have to get to? Went whale watching yesterday.
We finally did it.
Yeah.
We rescheduled and got up there.
Is it still too early though?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because look at this picture that I put it on Instagram. And you should follow me on Instagram Andy Chanley on Instagram.
Oh, okay. But, I'll do that right now. Okay.
So that's just, one we can cut
just
off.
Just so people
yet,
could
right?
see it, I did a whale emoji and a finger pointing down. So you can see where it is.
As far as I know, that actually is a whale.
It was great. And then there's this video that I didn't put on there, but I can show you guys real quick.
Where'd you go out of? Long
out
Beach?
Out of Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara again. And it was just really amazing. But here's the... Why can't I get the sound to go? Go sound.
Oh, dolphins.
Dolphin.
Yeah.
Nice. Up on the bow of the ship.
Yeah. Yep. They love traveling right alongside those boats, man.
It was really awesome to see. Yeah. Vivian was really trepidatious about getting on the boat to begin with and was chicken about it. When that happened, changed everything.
Oh, you get to have wine?
Did I?
Watching?
I was going
to
say, does Laura have a drink in her hand?
Yes. Yeah. You know what?
I want to go look at animals.
You know why
and drink?
They do that?
Yeah.
Because the chances of seeing whales sometimes are rather minuscule. So they want you nice and lubed up. At least you had a good time.
And if it's not happening, they're like, here, give him some more wine. And there's a guy out there with a raft under the water. And he's about 100 yards away and he holds it up in the air and he goes back down. And they're like, there it is. Let's go. Turn around.
Also, at some point, you just begin hallucinating. Splat. I think I saw one. Let's go back.
Oh, you guys missed it.
There's like a guy in the crowd that's paid to be like, oh, I saw one over there. Look over there.
So I get on the boat, and I said to one of the guys that was one of the hands that was on the boat, they were getting ready to serve drinks, and I said, Laura and the kids said, can we go out on the deck? And I'm like, yeah. Do we want to get a boatie? And, you know, a little drink to take a walkie. Right. It's a boatie. And I turned to him. He's like, I look at puzzlement for a second. He's like, oh, you mean a boat soda.
Boat soda.
I love that.
That's fantastic.
But too bad I don't know when the next time I'll be on a boat is. really, do you know when the next time you're really going to be on a boat?
Well, but Josh, you have made it very clear that anything to do with large bodies of water, just not your jam.
Well, no, I like looking at it.
You can have
but still not on it.
No. Well, I'm not afraid of being on boats.
Would you take a cruise?
Yeah, totally. I'm not afraid of being on the water. I don't like being in the water with these critters.
Actually, it makes sense. Cruises are essentially like Tom Papa does a whole bit in his new special about how everything they do on a cruise, you do on land. It's like, we've got a bowling alley. It's like, you could do that anywhere.
Yeah, nothing is more terrifying to me than thinking about being on a sinking ship in the middle of the ocean where you cannot see anything. Yeah. That is the most terrifying. I'd rather be in a plane crash. I'd rather be set on fire than be on a sinking boat.
Wow. Yeah.
Seriously.
How about a fiery plane crash?
Perfect. Bring it on. Being on like the Titanic. I mean, imagine it's just pitch black at night. You can't see anything. It's freezing cold. Yeah. And you can't see it. There's like... It's just black, and you're cold, and you're swimming in water, and you're going to die of exhaustion or be eaten by sharks.
Or hypothermia.
I feel like there's way more chance of survival in that situation.
Hypothermia would probably be, like, good. I'd be like, cool, hypothermia,
because at some
on.
Point you get, like, you know, that warm feeling all over. It's like, the sweet release of death. Yummy.
Yeah, or the hypothermia brings on, like, some type of insanity, and you're like, I'm somewhere nice and good. And then you don't even know where you're at anymore, and then you're like... And then it just
I just feel like your chances of survival in that situation are greater than fiery plane crash. It seems like that's inevitable.
Maybe in this day, this day and age, because of technology. But I'm thinking more like World War II battleships, and you know what I mean. Like,
no, that would be bad.
And like, especially going down that, and like the oil, there's oil in the water, and you're drinking oil and gasoline and sharks and fucking.
This is taking a dark turn.
Just saying. Those guys, the people in the Navy, man, those guys that got hit in ships and went down, those guys are, I think, the most brave.
Yeah, so the world should know, if there's ever another Normandy invasion, Josh is out. Yeah.
No,
is
the Normandy's, well, it depends. I mean, if they're, I'm out.
I think you just described everything.
But that's only like 8 feet of water. I can fight my way through that. I'm talking about like, I don't want to be like Midway. I'm out of Midway.
All right.
Well, that's how my uncle died. Oh. The one that Silas is named after.
Yeah.
It was a troop transport in the North Atlantic, in 1943. three
submarine?
No, it was a troop transport. It was just a boat. And the thing about it's called the Dorchester. And there's a story that's told every year, every around Christmas, about the Dorchester, the story of the four chaplains. And it sounds like a setup to a joke.
No, I've heard this.
Yeah, I told you about it. Mm-hmm. Where the ship was going to sink, and the different four faiths that were represented there of chaplains gave up their life vests to enlisted men so that they could live when they just locked arms and prayed their individual prayers as a rabbi and a Protestant minister and so forth. They all they sleep with the fishes. But the thing about that was it got hit by a German U-boat.
That's why I said why I said submarine, not in a submarine.
Got submarines. It got hit by a torpedo right in the engine room, and the thing about that was the abandoned ship. Message is, I think, like seven long draws on the whistle. They couldn't even do that. They ran out of steam. So the ones who were down in the lower deck sleeping didn't have a prayer.
Do you know how torpedoes don't not well? Like, you know how the torpedoes worked in World War II? Not all of them, but when they were trying to hit big ships like that, like the capital ships and stuff like that, they worked on magnets and they would shoot them. They wouldn't try to hit the ship. They would shoot underneath it, and because the metal of the ship would cause a magnetic field, it would make the torpedo explode. And what they were trying to do is force the ship up, and because the weight of the ship would come back down, it would bend, break the spine of the ship.
Whoa.
Oh, really?
They weren't trying to puncture. No, because those big battleships, they would get hit with torpedoes all the time, and they would just shut off that section of the ship.
Right.
And they just keep on going. You got to hit them like eight times just to slow it down. Well, they would start shooting underneath them to just move. If you can move that ship up like a foot or whatever, it's got to come back down, and all that weight's going to just bend the frame and break it, and they're trying to break it in half.
Wow, that's a trip.
That's the same thing the Germans would do with their tanks. Or the Americans would do to shoot the German tanks. The Panzers were so heavily armored that they couldn't. They would just shoot them. It'd be like shooting them with a BB gun. It wouldn't do anything. So they would shoot in front of it and try to skip the shell underneath the tank and hit the soft underbelly.
Hmm.
You know that? Fun facts.
That's very interesting.
Next week on History. we have been very educational today.
I had a counter mortgage talk with somebody.
Yeah, we've had Sander talk. We've had mortgage talk.
Speaking of...
you had your World War II lesson. Is there any other incredibly boring topic we can touch on?
Here's an interesting... Do you know who...
And Andy's going to find it.
I found it.
It is.
Do you know who came up with the idea for the frequency hopping technology for torpedoes?
It's in a movie. I know who. It's going to come to me.
What do you mean?
It is a
hopping?
Silent movie. She's credited herself with it. Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean frequency hopping?
She was the idea that you they can jam a frequency that,
right.
That you're trying to communicate from the ship to the torpedo to guide it. And
did in World War II.
If they, I think it was at the end of World War II afterwards, but she came up with the idea of switching to a new frequency and keep hopping around rendezvousing at a new so they can continue. And even if something is being jammed, it can continue to communicate.
Right.
She came up with that, and that kind of stuff to this day is still used in like Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
She came up with a whole bunch of
they consider modern cellular phones similar technology.
Yeah,
so she was a silent movie star
really smart.
Germany,
yes, and Austria, I think,
or Austria,
maybe.
Okay,
but she was dating this arms dealer. Some of this may be apocryphal, but I don't have the exact details. But the bottom line is, she was the girlfriend of this arms dealer to the Nazis,
mm-hmm.
and they just assume this dumb broad, doesn't know what we're talking about.
It shows all over the place.
And so she takes all of that information and basically ends up passing it on.
Right.
And then comes up with all these other ideas. She was hot. Oh my God, let's look up a picture of her.
Right. There's a documentary on Netflix all about this, which is pretty fascinating. And she was apparently pretty brilliant, although there's some dispute as to exactly how much she contributed to this. But she was credited with much of it later on.
Oh, wow.
Smoking up.
And notoriously appeared nude in...
come here.
she, I mean, she when she
Wait,
became...
Where did she appear nude?
WWW.
There was a movie she did in Europe that when she got picked up and brought out to Hollywood, they tried to make her a star, but it didn't really work out.
So we started off with hot barbers.
Yeah.
Now we're full circle.
He's looking for nude photos of a 1930s starlet.
How we got there, I don't know. Yeah. Well, should we get to some business
sure.
that we should attend to?
Can I make one quick suggestion
sure.
here? And I'm just as your podcast consultant.
Please.
And I know I'm a minor shareholder in this process.
No.
You're a full-on member.
I would strongly suggest that when we get to our favorite phone segment.
Yes.
That you drop in the intro and the outro instead of this, that you drop it in post.
In the thing?
As opposed to this fumbling back and forth.
But he made a vow not to do any editing at the beginning of the show. But I was thinking,
wait a minute.
Like that didn't
last
get blown
week,
out of the water.
19 hours yeah. of dropping in barnyard sounds.
Did
and you can't.
No, I keep meaning to.
Can't drop in an intro and outro
but
to
what
smooth
what
this
I was
out.
Telling him is, what, wouldn't it be easier, though, if we could just get him as two separate MP3s on his phone so he could just go MP3. Then play the call, then MP3.
I just don't think he has the capacity to
Plus
do that.
Plus, his thumb might not work in that.
I'm just saying, drop it in nice and clean in
post.
You
want me to do it nice and clean?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it nice and clean in post.
Let's see how it sounds.
I'll do it in the post.
Andy, you do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
It's just a suggestion.
All right, fine. Pretend for a moment that you're hearing the low-energy mic.
Okay.
Low-energy mic. Low-energy mic.
Wow, that was awesome.
Great.
Now, see, again, I think you're ruining the impact of the whole piece of production.
Oh, my God. Is this possible?
Did we get no call?
Do we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 calls?
Really?
Oh, no.
There's no way we can get all this. This is a heap.
People are going to yell
People are screaming at us.
Yes. I think three of them are low-energy mic.
I tell you what, we might have to have a full episode devoted to nothing but phone calls.
It might be that.
Like.
It might be that.
Because a lot of people, I mean, obviously,
do we have time to do them all?
We have, because there's so much controversy coming in on the YAF line.
Let's just dive in.
How far we get.
We can save some for next week.
All right. Let's see what happens here.
If there is a next week.
Yeah,
you knew that was going to happen.
But this is the other reason.
We should just keep talking when he starts it, just to get it out of the way. And
I
then
resent
like, okay.
that you making it sound like it's my fucking fault.
Again, you could bypass this whole problem by just chopping this out of the final result. But you love letting people hear our complete unprofessionalism. And maybe it just makes us more relatable that we're not perfect. People have this ideal that we are.
It's a real epiphany that Larry Morgan isn't
perfect. It's literally like watching Charlie Brown line up the kick and you're like, he's going to do it again. I know he's going to do it. You're watching, you're like, oh, Charlie Brown.
Maybe this time she'll keep it there.
Let me try it again.
All right.
There it is.
This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. A shout out to Alex Morgan. You rock. Thursday was a bust as far as snowboarding goes, as there was no new snow. So it turned into a shop day. Friday was backfilling inside of a new garage for concrete prep. Saturday, first mountain bike ride of the year. We rode the Snow Road Winery Trails in Echo, Oregon. This is near Hermiston. This area has nice, mellow trails and is usually rideable all winter long. My brother and his wife came, bringing a couple of newbie riders. My friend and musical genius, Steve.
Did he say nudie riders or
newbie?
Okay, because that's two different things.
Nudie riders sounds cool.
Yeah.
Showed up also. Steve was one of the early trail builders at this area and told us quite a bit of the history. And I'm sure that most of you are wondering about Ozzy the trail dog. Let me reassure you, Ozzy got to go. And he had a delightful time.
Oh, good.
We did about 10.5 miles on the trails. Afterward, we went to the Prodigal Son brew pub in Pendleton for lunch. And a really nice IPA called A Beer Named Sue.
Oh.
Pretty good day for a ditch digging man. Nice. Talk to you later.
That's where you drop in.
Now, Larry, have you seen the picture of Low Energy Mike?
Yeah. Oh no.
Oh, I was gonna say if you.
Oh, I follow him. Okay. I was an early adopter. Of his Instagram account.
That's right.
Yeah, I told you guys.
But here's the thing. I've got another Low Energy Mike from this morning.
Oh, just today?
From just today.
Oh, I wonder if he just heard like Thursday's.
So before I do the close, I should do this.
Do you want to do the song again?
Huh?
Low Energy Mike.
No. Josh?
It's already open.
What are you doing?
Well,
we've got to, you know
if you're going to edit, cut that out. Go.
All right. We should really rehearse this.
Hey, Yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon.
Right.
Thursday, I started a boulder wall planner for a customer.
It was lovely, by the way.
Mostly just moving in equipment, dirt, and a couple loads of boulders.
Boulder loader.
Thursday evening is the acoustic jam night at LJ Brewski's in Union. Ooh, it started out slow. One guitar, one harmonica. But by 6:30, there were two more guitars and two banjos.
Ooh, right,
so all was well with the music world. The next day, I finished up the planner with a bunch of rock stacking and a couple more loads of boulders. And then topsoil to top it off. Still no new snow. So Ozzy got to go mountain biking Saturday. The weather was cool and windy. Hell, at one point, I was having to pedal on a downhill section.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up Sunday morning to 2 inches of snow on the ground and only a trace at the ski area. I guess it's going to be a shop day. Pretty good week for a ditch digging man. Talk to you later.
Now, what did he do? Load boulders?
Pause, please.
Wait, I have to play it now, and we'll still continually talk.
Oh, if we're going to talk to, okay, I guess we can make that.
I saw on was it Instagram.
This little dangly hand.
I'm not
thing.
Even going to describe what he's doing now because I get yelled at for it. He's doing this.
It's like,
I don't know.
It's like his hand is like an udder,
like
a cow's udder.
Looks like he's holding a silk handkerchief.
Okay, there's that.
He was moving around these big boulders,
yeah,
to make this planner with this.
Oh, is this a construction?
It's a construction thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I get it.
And it was, you could see it was being moving, and he was doing it like you or I would stand here and do it with our hand to move around pieces of Jenga tile.
Yeah.
You know, on a table. It was just, you know, like
he's a pro. Hey,
hold on. Play Low Energy Mike.
No, I'm still talking.
Oh, you're
going to
talk about him? More trouble than it's worth.
I want to propose, I swear to God, I think in 2020, we should make a goal that we, as a podcast, commit to road trip
to
live podcast
Oregon?
Recording at the music venue in Northeast Oregon. Who's in?
Before we die? Yes.
No, before the end of this year.
End of this year.
Why not? We could rent a van, drive
like a
up
lot
together.
Of low energy, right?
we bring the high energy to low energy.
We rent a van and take it.
I think we go up we get the band together,
drive the whole way. That's a long drive.
Rent a VW bus. Okay, we can fly.
Let's fly, and then we'll rent a van from the airport.
All right, I'm going. You guys can join me or not.
All right.
I want to try that beer. What was it called again? It's Johnny Cash song.
Oh, yeah. A beer named Sue.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Hold on just a second.
Hold, please. That was Low Energy Mike.
That was Low Energy Mike. There you go. Thank you, Alex Morgan. Fantastic work.
That was as smooth as silk, Andy.
Yeah.
You are the velvet fog, my
if
man.
If I ever liked you, it's in the past.
Well, I don't think I have to worry about that.
Yo, guys. It's Trucker Joe.
Yes.
Tutu. Anyway, first of all,
love it.
Last week's show with Sam Farmer, I love, well, you know, I'm an NFL fan, huge, Mike Zion. I love that guy's NFL stories.
Yeah.
He just, it's like his writing. I mean, it's just first class. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. And it was a great show. Now, on to today's show.
Oh, boy.
I want to clear something up.
Here we go.
I am not... jealous that Mike has a theme song.
Thank you.
I am a low energy Mike fan. I am in construction. That's what I do for a living. So do you know how hard it is to make construction entertaining to a guy that does that for a living? It's hard. And he's entertaining. And you know why? Because I think he's just himself. You know? Yeah. And he's an interesting guy. There's way more to him than digging French drains and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh,
anyway.
I'm not buying this low energy.
And I love the theme song. Okay, so I am not, as, what's her name, Paulette, said, I'm not butthurt about it.
Yeah.
Now,
nice.
Getting bumped for Magic Castle
here we go.
Is
we were doing so well.
Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Damn it.
Nobody wants to hear that. Anyhow, great show today. I love the animal sounds for the coughing and the construction sounds for whatever noise.
Whatever noise handy.
All right. Yeah. Oh, one more thing.
Jesus.
So I would love to be able to buy a shirt with my slogan on it.
Right.
You know, just the right amount of stupid. So let us know. Get them done so we can buy them.
So,
all right.
That's another goal.
January 2021.
Still love you guys. Later. Yeah.
December 31st.
We got an extra two toots.
My brother, he doesn't text me very much. Last week, I'm sitting at work, and all of a sudden, I look down, I got a text from my brother. It just says, Trucker Joe, ha ha.
See, I'm happy to hear that Trucker Joe is not truly upset, and I think high energy Paulette is causing controversy.
She's fomenting discord.
Yeah. Oh, wow! I'm sorry.
Here we go.
Hold on, just a second here.
Oh crap, guys! Okay, it's Trucker Joe again. So I hadn't listened to the very end of the show, and as soon as I went back for that, I heard you talking about the call. And I vaguely remember that call, Andy, and now I get it. So I get why you bumped me for the Magic Castle trivia. Anyways, yeah, that wasn't nasty, but I wasn't nice either. Anyhow, I had to respond to that. That's it, guys. Later.
See, I think Trucker Joe has a very healthy attitude.
Yep, he does.
And he's more than willing to admit when maybe he overreacted, and we appreciate that.
And it wasn't awful. I just, why hurt anyone's feelings when you don't have to?
Exactly.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
And by the way, I have a response to Paulette from the standpoint that Trucker Joe doesn't need a theme song. He's
got the horn.
He's got sound
effects. That's his thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's his thing.
He brought his own thing to the table that we don't even need to touch. You know what I mean? He's just like, wah, wah, there you go. You know, it's Trucker Joe.
You know, I think high energy Paulette might get a sound effect, and it's going to be something like, wah, wah, or.
Jeez, Larry's starting. Now Larry's starting the
pot. No, she's the one fomenting discord, and I'm going to spew it right back at her. Bring it, Paulette.
Jeez.
Calm down.
Right back
I'm just kidding. I just love that the fact that we get calls at all. By the way, a trend is developing here. We got low energy Mike, who's a ditch digging man. We got Trucker Joe, the construction worker. I'm beginning to realize that all this shed talk and automotive pavilion talk, basically our audience is nothing but people who want to hear him talking about belt sanders and ratchet
shirts.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ratchets.
Yeah. I think that we've developed an audience that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
I think it's these kind of people will listen on the iPad when they can slow it down. You remember that?
I forgot about that.
So I talk slower about my belt sanders.
So I had to get rid of the shirt due to the stains.
Wow. By the way, try that, everybody.
Hi, this is Lisa from Santa Clarita via Northern Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Andy, on today's podcast, you were talking about dropping into a twang or a drawl or something from being from Indiana. I grew up in Indiana also, and I do, although I've lived in Los Angeles for 25 years, I do have people tell me sometimes that I have an accent. I was wondering if you could demonstrate for me what an Indiana accent is.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Because I don't really hear it. Thanks.
Sure.
It's kind of subtle, but it is there.
Really,
and also Southern Indiana, way different than Northern Indiana, right?
It is. Because Dixie kind of sweeps up and gets the bottom half of Indiana.
If you know what I mean.
And that's where my folks are from.
Right.
From the very bottom, you know.
You're Hicks.
Hillbillies. Yes. And so, like, it's interesting. My dad had a really peculiar thing, you know, wang that he would put on certain words. Like he'd say,
he had a peculiar wang.
I was going for the bell. I'm like, did he say wang?
He said he had a peculiar wang
that he put on words. He said a peculiar wang that he put on words.
But I isolated peculiar wang.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, Andy uses a lot of words. I don't know. Is wang another word for twang?
He had a wang twang.
So tell us more about his unusual wang.
He had a different spin on things. Like he would say, instead of paint the bench,
yeah,
he would say pant the bench.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
But go to pant on that bench. There would be almost an A on the E vowels. And what happens, the thing that I found that I brought to Southern California, yeah, I worked very hard to get rid of most of the accent that I had. Right. But it was mostly just rounding things, shortening things. Like
I was dropping G's through most of my life.
And all the time.
But I also had the Texas thing. And I think just being around other radio people, mm-hmm. I started to emulate what they sounded like. I recognized that I was a little bit corn pone.
Yeah, you can fall right back. Like you.
Well, you too, probably.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
you don't sound like your family anymore, do
you?
No,
I mean, I can fall. I can. I think there's certain words that I'll say that sound like Western Pennsylvania.
Like gum band?
Yeah, gum band, printing ear. Yins. But like when I go back.
Great name for an actual band. We're the Gum Band.
Did you ever hear of a Gum Band?
No. When I heard that, I had to look that up.
Chimbley.
I've heard. Too. Yeah.
And a Grinny. We talked about a Grinny.
Mm-hmm.
That's a squirrel. A Grinny.
I thought that's something that you get carried out of.
I also think some of these things might just be your family being weird.
No. I got a Pittsburghese book. It's in there. But I think being around it, like when I go back. I can fall right back into it.
I'll catch
myself and I'll be like, stop, Josh, stop.
Oh, I start dropping y'alls like crazy when I go back to Texas. Because I never say that in my normal life.
Yeah, like normal
life.
I would hear people say things like cornflakes.
Cornflakes. Yeah.
It has to be washed.
Is it an A thing then? Because I think Western Pennsylvania is an O thing. It's like. I guess it's an A.
It's usually always vowel sounds.
If you go up to Boston and
everything gets kind of slanted.
And to that point, the first time anyone ever really, like, you know, popped me on the nose with the newspaper and said, you know, down boy, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing a voiceover. This is probably 2000.
This happens to me
2004 or something like that, 2003 maybe. And I read this. I was talking about doctors at a zoo and how they would, you know, do operations. And I said, they perform the operation with such precision that, Andy, that word is such. It rhymes with much. It's not sitch. It's not sitch precision.
Like, you turn down the hillbilly.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And I would get that. And then when I was doing the Safeway stuff, the radio stuff for Safeway grocery stores, I would go home and have a visit back home and come back and do a session. And every now and then they're like, Andy, did you go back to Indiana this weekend?
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We need to get you back on, you know.
Yeah.
I still
have difficulty making the distinction between pen and pen.
Oh yeah. I do.
And I find that still hard for me to hear.
What's the name of the Cincinnati football team?
The Bengals.
The Bengals?
Bengals.
I'll say Bingles.
Bingles?
Bingles.
See,
yeah.
I'll say there's this holiday called Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you fuck that up every time.
Son of a bitch.
And I say it correctly, and Andy refuses to.
Anyway, Lisa, thank you for that call. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Let's see what we got here.
Can you...
Hey, Andy, Josh, Larry, and Sam, if you're around. This is Dave. I'm sitting here in my underwear and in bed.
Wow.
Thought I'd call you and tell you about the walkers. You know, Andy was talking about how he was doing yoga and the lady next to him farted.
Yep.
Well, I got a story.
Uh-oh.
It begins with the wife and her friends. When they used to walk together, they would always fart. It was just a farting frenzy. And, so the wife named it, I'm going to go have my walkers. I'm going to go or my wife that way. You know, it's just one of those things that women do when they get old. They start smarting at every little step they take. Well, you know, it's a farting world.
Yeah.
I think I got the
right. Write that down. Write that down.
Love you guys. Oh. Have a good time. Bye.
I'm telling you, if there's one thing that we Dave. Can all agree on, it's a farting world.
Now, my question is the name of this, what did I write down here? I like the sand and stilettos or the farting frenzy?
Well, it's a fart in the world.
It's a fart.
I mean, I think that also goes on a t-shirt. We may have to save that for a t-shirt.
Unusual wang.
Exactly. I think that's our phase two t-shirt, frankly. It's a fart in the world. I mean,
I love the fact that he just told me he's laying in his bed in his underwear.
A detail.
He's the whole thing with I'm in my bed in underwear.
Yeah,
like,
a detail.
Okay, cool.
A detail not necessary for the rest
of the
story.
Oh, you know why he said that? Because on the voicemail, I say, tell us what you're wearing. I bet you that's why he did it.
We should
I always forget that I say that.
We should immediately
revise. I'm in my underwear. I'm like, what the hell would he say?
We should immediately revise that.
Yeah, that's what it says in the. Yeah, all right.
The outgoing.
All right, here, we got another one.
Greetings from Long Beach on February 29th, Leap Day.
Oh.
To Sam, I am unknown. To Larry, I'm the Dell guy. To Josh, I'm the Magic Castle trivia guy. And to Andy, I'm George. Sorry to Andy about the Hong Kong Zongle debacle. I hope you have found a toss link to Thunderbolt Converter that works for you. The origin of the word dongle is most probably a corruption of the word dangle, which most of the stuff in the USB ports do on the back of the computer.
Don't leave me, Josh.
Byte magazine claimed it was invented by Don Gall, but when pressed, admitted that they made it up. They made up a lot of stuff. Nice to hear from Larry. Oh. I started listening to the sound at the time Larry was doing the morning show solo.
Oh.
Also great to hear from Sam. He always has great stories to tell. For the Magic Castle trivia, they have a Neil Patrick Harris Old Fashioned, served with Old Granddad Kentucky Straight Bourbon infused with fresh cherries and oranges from small barrels with the Angostura bitters at the bar.
Doesn't
much like
bad.
Andy described, but they make it much faster. The cherries are Luxardo maraschino cherries.
You gotta go. Luxardo.
I enjoy them in a perfect rye Manhattan at home.
I like
using
that.
Jack Daniel's rye, ooh, Martini and Rossi red and dry vermouth, ooh, and the Angostura bitters. The other bar I frequent is the Napa Rose Bar in the Grand Californian at the Disneyland Resort.
Mm-hmm.
Ryland will fix you a great old-fashioned or Manhattan or anything else you'd like. Joe also makes killer drinks.
Wow.
So the bars that I frequent only have valet parking.
Oh, well then.
End of call one.
I'm out.
Yeah, all right.
End of call one.
Oh, must have been running out of time, so he's going to call back.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't
yeah, this one's longer.
Okay. Ugh,
I'm going to take a crap.
Don't be mean.
I need to respond to Andy's rat story.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Everyone in L.A. has a rat story. Ours started with chewing sounds under the shower in the bathroom of our master bedroom. It was near the outside access of our raised foundation. We checked and found that the screen to prevent access under the house was compromised. We repaired the screen and were ready to put it back in place after dusk when rats are most active. We hoped that all the rats would move out and be a good time to seal the entrance. The wife was worried that not all the rats got out. So I went to Costco and bought a Uniden wireless security camera system.
Yeah,
it was about $250, but it did the job well. It had two cameras that run on ambient light during the day and uses infrared emitters at night. And it has a pad with a screen so you can see the images.
You spent $250 to make
sure
the rats didn't die.
I think you watch it
under the house. Then I had to get a live trap.
No.
We've had a rat as a pet in the past, so my wife said killing was not an option.
They
do make decent pets until they get cancer and die.
That's a downside.
Took 3 days for the
guy
to come and have to venture into the trap. Once we had him, we removed the trap from under the house, closed up the entrance to the crawl space, and released the rat. Of course, he immediately ran to now closed off entrance.
He's just testing us now.
Realized it was closed off and
ran back in the house.
As for the wireless security cameras, we still get good use out of them.
Good.
For example, I was replacing a toilet. When you set the toilet, you have the wax gasket, and you have one chance to get the toilet line.
Are we going into a story? Let me get on mic. I've leaned back because I can't take this anymore. Are we about to go into a story?
About a wax gasket?
About a wax gasket and infrared cameras.
Yes.
That he's going to use on his wax gasket for his toilet.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear. Go ahead, proceed.
This is content you won't get on any other.
And if there's a call three, I'm leaving.
You know,
if he says end of call two, I'm dropping the headphones.
Here's the thing. You know what? many people have said, you need to put this on Patreon. You know, you need to put this thing on Patreon.
To make people pay for this?
Yeah. This is the kind of content that you put behind the paywall.
I don't, my mind right now is I don't even know. Hold on, don't play yet. Where do you think this is going? What do infrared cameras have to do with the wax seal on your toilet?
I can't wait to find out.
And thank you for delaying it even
longer,
Josh.
I'm building
it
up. Now I'm like, okay, go ahead.
Do you want to take
I just wanted to point that out, that this is where we're heading. Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to make a conjecture? Do you have any?
That's why I stopped it, because I'm like, I have no idea. I don't even have an inkling of where this could go or why he's getting a secondary life out of these cameras with his toilet.
Back to the wax gasket.
I'm not even sure this is legal. Are you allowed to film your toilet? Well, I guess it's your toilet, but yeah, go ahead.
1/15 of this podcast goes to George, so that's
okay. All right.
Yeah, correctly. This is very challenging when you're bent over holding a 60-pound toilet.
Yep.
So I put the security cameras at right angles to the gasket and put the pad where I could see it. It was like a NASA space station docking maneuver. I could watch the toilet base come down on the gasket and make little corrections as I completed the docking maneuver. Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
All right. So it was just an installation aid.
Okay, but seriously, where are you when you're like, I can't get this fucking toilet on this wax seal?
I got to go to Costco and spend $250 on a rat camera.
Yeah. I got an idea. I'll get my infrared cameras up and set them up so I can do it like I'm docking two space stations together.
I tell you what I do. Call the guy to come do it for me.
I said pay somebody $40. Pay a plumber to come out and do it. I've actually had to do that one time. It is hard. You ever had to put a toilet on a wax seal?
No.
It's hard.
I hire
somebody. It's literally like a wax cylinder. Yeah. That you put on the main shit pipe, which is actually shot, which is what they call it. And so you'll see that in the book. But there's this big pipe where all the poop and everything goes down. And then there's, and that's in your floor. And then you have to put this wax thing around it that you bolt on. And then when you drop the toilet down on it, it creates a seal. Sure. So your poop water is not coming out into your.
So how much time did you just spend mocking him and you go into great detail on the wax seal toilet process?
I'm just saying that's how you do it. But I would never think about getting my camera, my two infrared cameras out. I wonder if it was infrared, did he go, well, let's turn the lights off and do it. Let's turn all the fucking lights off and do it. And I want to do it night vision.
Goggles.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got the lights off. It's pitch black here. He's dropping toilets on wax seals.
He looks down the pipe and he sees rat eyes. Like
Was this the most random episode of all time?
This is just a weird episode.
We covered every possible.
I feel like we need to apologize to everybody for listening. I'm sorry for what we did today.
And very few barnyard. Can you just drop in random barnyard noises?
Yeah, you know, I coughed a few times. If you're going to go ahead and do the mic things, go ahead and just drop in a few barnyard.
Like, I got nothing better to do.
Yeah. Could you also
the mop up?
Could you also create some musical segments out of... go ahead.
If I set up some infrared cameras in here, can I watch you edit these?
No. Oh, Josh, they already are. I'll send you the link.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Are you in your underwear while you're doing it?
That YAF line number is 626-657-6428. Clearly, you can call with anything.
Yeah,
anything that's on your mind.
Exactly.
And we'll play it, apparently.
And you can wear anything you want when you call, I guess, too.
626-657-6428 or amok PM hat. That's the YAF line. You can buy your YAF crap, your YAF mugs at yafcrap.com if that's your thing. And you can get a hold of these trouble causers. These ne'er-do-wells, these scofflaws, these young toughs by...
Young toughs.
Best bet for me is on the Instagram, at... The Larry Morgan.
The Larry Morgan.
The Larry Morgan.
The Larry Morgan.
Yeah, I'll follow you back.
All right.
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
Send him a dick pic.
No, don't do it. Whatever, I don't care anymore.
Instagram, it's
Andy. Well, you don't need to do that one. You only do two this week. You already did the Instagram one, so you can move on to the other one. You got the Instagram one out of your system early. Didn't he hit the Instagram?
I
want
to make sure
one?
I did. Right, it's Andy Chanley on Instagram. Yeah. Okay. Just to make sure.
All right. What about the other?
It's DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook. Okay. Does anybody do Facebook anymore?
Barely.
I'm taking a dupe.
And then Twitter. Nobody hardly matters bothers with that either.
I never even really signed up for it.
What's your TikTok account?
I don't have one.
What is that?
But I should get one, shouldn't
exactly.
I?
Exactly.
Am I an old person that I can say, what is that?
Yes, we should not even.
Is it just another?
Don't even
Instagram
give it a second
is
thought.
It the same thing?
No.
It's where kids get on there and they do videos to songs that already exist.
Or other things. Yeah. It's stupid.
Sounds terrible.
Also, please, if you do listen to us and you enjoy it, please rate and subscribe and leave a review, because that actually lets other construction types find us.
Yeah.
And
you can also find us on Facebook, too.
Yeah,
we have a pretty fun Facebook account that Aaron Owl
does
an amazing job on it. And we do virtually nothing.
I wonder what kind of animal he's
chasing. Should we start saying that from here on out when we say his name? Hey, everybody, it's Aaron
Owl. I like it.
I can't hit that high. Mine's going to be like, ow.
Ow.
Ow. That's the highest note I can hit right there.
That sounds,
ow.
That sounds
is that
like
good?
Oh, that's not
heat.
Bad.
Huh?
That sounded like a
cat
in
heat.
Yeah.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast with your artificial friends.
Good job on the percussion, Larry. I like
that's
that.
That's pretty nice
he
with
the crammer.
I thought I'd give it some layers
some
this
cramming?
Week. Yeah, yeah, some layers.
Cram it.
Mm-hmm.
Started off with one guitar and a crammer.
And look at us now.